You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
The suicide of an all-American young man, a teen, leads to a shocking discovery of a sick online sextortion scheme. You heard me right. Not extortion, sextortion. A scheme preying on, predating on young American teens. You think your child is just, you know, sending an Insta or a Snap? No. And tonight, joining us, the mother and father of this young boy. As I said, all American scrubbed in sunshine, I mean it. Who commits suicide after being sextorted online. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
A Michigan high school football star receives a mysterious Instagram message from a girl claiming they have friends in common. Soon, their conversation becomes flirtatious.
This kid, this boy, to me, this little boy, a teen, had no idea who he was really dealing with. This girl, Danny, this beautiful young girl flirting with him online, it started on Insta, then she moved it to a Google chat room. It wasn't a beautiful young girl at all. And now, this boy is gone. Listen.
I saw Jordan for the last time. He came home at 10:15, and I believe that's when he opened up his phone and saw the first messages right when he pulled in our driveway. And I was just about ready to go to bed because we had a long day the next morning traveling. Our other two kids were already asleep. My wife was finishing up laundry and getting ready, final packing for our vacation. But I ran into Jordan outside on our patio for a brief moment as he was walking, and I was heading to the garage quick, and that was the last time I'd seen him. But that, looking back, that was literally minutes after he received his first message, and within 10 minutes, I was in bed sleeping, and I never saw him again. I woke up to finding him in his bedroom.
You are hearing Dad, John DeMay, speaking to me earlier. Joining me is John DeMay, Jordan's dad, and his mother, Jennifer Buta. To both of you, thank you for being with us. And John, let me tell you why we were playing sound of when you spoke to me before. Because I was worried that you and Jennifer would be so distraught that you wouldn't be able to speak. So I was going to use your prior words in case that happened. Because when I work on this case, I sometimes I don't know the right words. Can you and Jennifer, starting with you, John, tell us what happened that evening?
Well, first of all, thank you for having us again and sharing our story, and appreciate the thought of the speaking. But I know I can speak for myself and probably Jennifer as well. But we're very vocal. This is a very important issue, and we're getting our voice as far and wide as we can to tell Jordan's story and what happened to him, and keep this as his legacy. Jordan was a, as you can see, an all-American young man. He was 6'2", 185 pounds of, handsome young man getting ready to start his own life. He was 2 months away from his 18th birthday, just getting ready to graduate high school. And, this tragic thing happened. As, we heard earlier, the first message came in late evening on Thursday night, and the messages were flirtatious and kind of meaningless in the beginning, but in kind of changed. And as it progressed into more sexual nature, pictures were exchanged, and Jordan had sent a compromising photo of himself just after midnight. And when he did that, he figured out real quick that this young lady named Danny Roberts was not a young lady. She was they were extortionists trying to extort him for money. And he spent the next 3 to 4 hours in excruciating, hard, fast-paced extortion and trying to pay him money, trying to figure his way out of it. And he ultimately told these extortionists that he was going to kill himself because of them. And their response was, good, you better do it faster. We're going to make you do it. And he did.
Mr. DeMay, I am so sorry. I know those words are hollow. I just hate it for you. I hate it for him. And if there is a way to get this message to one teen tonight, to one teen, it will be worth everything that we're doing right now. Everything. And here's the thing. We'll never know. We'll never know if we had any effect, if we saved anybody. But I know this. We'll know if we don't even try.
That's right.
Jennifer, thank you for being with us. What is your recollection of those critical hours?
When I woke up to get ready for work, I saw a text that came through from Jordan at 3:41 in the morning, and it said, Mother, I love you. And I just texted him back and said, I love you too. I hope you got some sleep. And I started to get ready to take my kids to school. Once I got them to school, I knew Jordan should be awake. So I sent him another message saying, are you okay? And he didn't respond. So I drove to work, sat down, and I was like, something's not right. He should be responding to me. I sent him a third text, just Jordan. And I gave it a minute, and I reached out to Jordan's girlfriend at school and said, is Jordan at school? And she said, no. And in that moment, I knew something was very, very wrong. And I reached out to John to see if he was still at his house. John called me about 9 minutes later and said, he's gone. And that morning was just chaos, trying to figure out what happened or why he would do this, because he was ready to go on vacation. There were literally no signs that he was in a place to take his own life.
The investigation that started with the death of this incredible young man, a boy, Jordan DeMay, a boy, has led to the uncovering of a vast network, a gang all around the world, extorting, sextorting teens. Joining me is Rich Wostocki, former detective, cyber crimes detective, president of Be Sure Cyber Training. Rich, thank you for being with us. And, you know, I'm just a trial lawyer. I know how to try a murder case. And I know how to work a crock pot, and that's about it. You have got to explain to everyone in understandable terms what is happening. How is this happening? Why is Jordan dead? How did it happen?
Well, Nancy, my heart goes out to these parents, and it's happening all over the world, actually, where these warlords have these cyber cafes, and they are all sextortionists, specifically the Yahoo boys in Nigeria, who are doing this to our kids across the country. What we need to do, I train about 300,000 students a year. Last year, out of those 300,000, I have had 35 students come to me and telling me that's happening to me right now. And we have to, it starts with education of the parents, and then it goes to the education of
okay,
the
Okay, whoa. Explain what happens in simple terms. Okay, so yep. Here we see Jordan, everything's fine. And all of a sudden, this girl pops up on Insta. I believe, wasn't it originally on Insta, John and Jennifer?
Correct.
Yes.
And she's cute, and there's a picture of her, and she's got a profile and a background. I'm 16. I go to so-and-so high school, and I'm a cheerleader, and I live in so-and-so. What happens then?
Well, our boys get so involved. And when they're by themselves, you know, in their bedrooms at night with their devices, and they're like, what's the harm? it's just another girl on the internet. What they don't understand is that if they don't know who they are, where they come from, or can't see them on a webcam, it's probably a liar, probably a sextortion case. So for girls, it's about more pictures and videos.
So wait, you're saying you need to be able to either know the person in real life or be able to see them on a webcam. And to you, John DeMay, it just started out so innocently. She sends a picture, maybe a yearbook picture or a, you know, I don't know, a picture, a cute picture. And they start flirting and talking online. He doesn't know her. She doesn't know him. And they're having a good time. And this goes on for, you know, 20 minutes. How does that go so sideways? That's what I'm trying to figure out, John.
You know, I'm certainly not a professional at this yet, but I'm trying to be. And, you know, from all the law enforcement professionals from all the world that I'm meeting and talking with and learning from, the majority of the same cases is the same type of situation. It's a slow boil, building rapport with hacked accounts mostly. And so a lot of these accounts that are hacked have users and followers. So when you accept the friend request, they oftentimes have mutual related friends. So they feel comfortable accepting the request right in the beginning. So that's the first step. And then as the detective stated, the Yahoo Boys is a particular group that was very well connected and basically put together a training platform that was all over the internet for years for these extortionists to learn how to do it effectively.
Oh, dear Lord. So they have a training program how to sextort teens, American teens. Okay. This yes. is how I think it went down. Jump in and correct me to John and Jennifer and Witch Rostocki. Hold on, Dr. Maroney, Elizabeth Peterson, I'm coming right to you. Listen.
Social media has become a regular part of daily life for millions, and 17-year-old Jordan DeMay is no exception. On Twitter, Jordan receives a message from a beautiful teen. Her name is Danny Roberts, and she's pretty and very suggestive. Danny asks Jordan to send some naughty photos of himself, but Jordan balks and asks if she's scamming him. Danny convinces Jordan she isn't a scammer and sends a nude photo of herself. Convinced, Jordan sends a nude photo of himself.
And that is how it starts. Listen.
The minute Jordan DeMay is convinced by a new friend on Twitter to send a naughty photo, he knows he has been had. Right away, he knows he is being blackmailed. The so-called Twitter friend tells Jordan he needs to send money right now, or the naughty photo he just sent is going to be sent to his family and all his friends at school. The blackmailer tells Jordan to send $1,000. He tells the scammers he doesn't have that much. He tells them he has $300. And they agree. If Jordan DeMay sends the $300, they will get rid of everything. He sends the money.
This is not just a story. This is real. Jordan is dead. And you just heard one of our guests talking about training online, how these sextortionists are trained online. They even have a script. This is part of the script that we've obtained from court filings. Quote, hey, I have screenshots of all your followers and tags and those that comment on your posts. I can send this nude to everyone and also send your nudes until it goes viral. All you've got to do is cooperate with me and I will not expose you. Can you imagine John DeMay, your boy, alone up in his room, thinking, oh, my girlfriend, my high school girlfriend's gonna get a picture of my private parts? And no, I sent it to some girl I've never even met. My parents are gonna see this. And the turmoil he was going through.
Right, 100%. And they were even taking it a step further. They were pretending like they were already sending that, and they were building content to try to show that they were sending this already. So they were putting that maximum pressure campaign on him to really stress him out. And remember, this is at, you know, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. He's spiraling out of control. He doesn't know what to do. And, you know, he put himself, they put him into a situation that he just felt he couldn't get out of.
Things heat up in an exchange between a Michigan high school football star and a mysterious girl. Soon, she begins demanding money to keep his private photos from being leaked on the internet.
Why did it take the suicide of this young boy, literally all-American, scrubbed in sunshine, never been a trouble a day in his life? Why did it take that for sextortion to be investigated? His death and the investigation into its circumstances has led to the uncovering of a far-flung sextortion plot leading to the arrest of multiple grown men and uncovering a Nigerian gang with U.S. counterparts preying on our children. Yes, when I say goodnight to the twins, and they shut their doors and I go to sleep, yeah, they're in there with their phones. They're in there with their phones, introducing them to a world of hurt. Joining me, Jordan's mom and dad, Jennifer and John. To Dr. William Maroney, renowned medical examiner, toxicologist, pathologist, author of American Narcan. Dr. Maroney, you have conducted so many autopsies, but there's something different about a teen, a child autopsy. And I know you've seen way too many of them.
When you have a baby, when you have somebody's 5, 6, 7 years old, when you have a teen that's still in school, the autopsy room is almost reverent. We take all autopsies serious. But when something like this happens, the feeling is that you're trying to make things better because you don't have good answers. And even though this is a suicide, it's a very young person, and you're trying to give back to your customer, law enforcement, and you're trying to give back and serve your community, the family, to give them answers. And you don't know what started this at the other end, but you know it's extremely tragic. And it's just, I don't want to say it's church-like, but it kind of is. You have the same lights, you have the same smell of the disinfectant, but it's very reverent, and it's a special time to try to make sense of what happens in a place that sometimes deals with tremendous tragedy. But the autopsy of children, babies, and teenagers is very special, and it touches you every day.
Especially in light of your children being 17 and just turning 20, my own about to turn 17. What happened that night that John and Jennifer are describing? Listen.
Danny Roberts begins sending more threats to Jordan, putting his naughty photos into collages with other family members and friends, and threatening to send those photos out. Keeping up the pressure on Jordan, not giving him a moment's rest from the threats, Jordan tells Danny he's thinking of killing himself and writes, "Because of you." Danny responds, "Good. Do that fast."
Let me understand what I'm hearing. Jennifer Buta joining us, Jordan's mom. So this extortionist, this gang preying, predating upon our children, can actually go into their account, and she, Danny, it's not a she, it's American grown men teamed up with Nigerian grown men. They get pictures of his friends and family, and they put the, as we're calling it, naughty photo, it's of him naked in the middle, and he puts all of his friends around it, proving to Jordan, "I can reach all of your friends, your mother and your father, with this photo." I cannot imagine how Jordan would have reacted seeing that.
Yeah, they were building the collages. Jordan might have even believed that they were sent out to some of his friends' parents, or to us. It was very convincing. I can't imagine the panic he was in, being tired alone in the middle of the night. They basically tortured my son for hours before they forced him to take his own life.
Listen.
It has only been 6 hours since Jordan DeMay and Danny Roberts exchanged nude photos. At 17 years old, the homecoming king, popular, well-liked Jordan DeMay, sees no way out. When he threatens to end his own life, he isn't met with compassion. He is met with an evil challenge. Do it. He does. In his bedroom, on his bed, Jordan DeMay fatally shoots himself.
This sextortion plot, and if you're a parent, if you're an older brother or sister, an aunt, this matters. this sextortion plot may never have been uncovered, and we may never have known why Jordan did this. With the world at his fingertips, his life in front of him, a football star heading to vacation, loving parents, a beautiful girlfriend, good grades, everything. Why? It would never have been uncovered but for this.
News of Jordan DeMay's death spreads fast. Jordan's girlfriend, Kyla, gets messages online from people expressing their condolences, but there is one message from a user she doesn't recognize. This person is not offering condolences. The message is from a user with explicit photos of Jordan threatening to send the photos to her friends and family. Kyla tells her parents about the message, and they go to the police.
John DeMay is with us, Jordan's dad, along with Jordan's mom. John, explain the significance of his, Jordan's little girlfriend, getting a message from the sextortionist.
Well, it's really the most important piece of this entire investigation, in resulting in almost 11, or, well, I believe it's 11 arrests now at this point in American Nigeria. But the picture was the catalyst. And when we talk about the number of children that are affected by sextortion specifically, it's literally everyone to some degree at one level to another. But this picture was important because it allowed law enforcement to be able to get search warrants and preservation warrants into social media companies, Instagram or Meta at this point, in our case. Otherwise, we would have never known. Jordan wiped his phone clean. He deleted all the messages on Instagram. So at face value, we really wouldn't have had the knowledge of what we have today. So that one picture, which is actually a little bit unlike most of the extortionists in sextortion cases, the majority of the time, these extortionists do not send the photos. They have no reason to. This was a little bit of a difference in a lot of the other sextortion cases that I've been following and meeting with parents and investigators on. So we're very, very lucky that that happened, because a lot of parents know that there was some fishy stuff going on by some of the messages that are on their phone, but they don't have enough evidence to go to a court to get a warrant, to go to Meta, because Meta is just not going to release the back end data and provide parents or investigators with information without evidence. So that one piece is what blew this all up for us. So extremely important.
In Michigan, the Marquette County Sheriff has his detectives work with the FBI and subpoena Jordan's social media. Investigators track Danny Roberts' IP address to Nigeria, where many online sextortion scams originate. Three Nigerian men, Ezekiel Roberts and brothers Samuel and Samson Agoshi, are linked to Jordan DeMay's case, along with more than 100 other victims.
Joining me now, Elizabeth Peterson, morning news anchor and reporter, WLUC-TV. Six, UpperMichiganSource.com, UpperMichiganSource.com. Elizabeth, thank you for being with us. Now, we hear the U.S. attorney speaking out. Now, just then, we heard about a Nigerian gang, but there were American men, U.S. citizens, part of this gang, part of this plot. How did it work, Elizabeth?
Yeah, as this continues to unfold, we keep learning more and more about exactly what happened. And there were five American men arrested, charged in this scheme. And essentially, through that, we learned that when Jordan sent the money, he didn't send it to Nigeria. He sent it to one of these men, who then sent it to another, they call him the plug, another man in Nigeria, who then sent it to the three defendants. And I think when you really look at what happened, it started with $300. The first man here in the United States took his cut of, say, 20%. Then the plug takes his cut. And so by the time you go down the line, this was over $50, $60. And so as we start to learn those details, just the how unnecessary this entire thing was.
Oh, Elizabeth Peterson, hold on just a moment.
Sure.
Elizabeth, you mean some of these people, their cut, did you say was $50? Jordan is dead and their cut was $50?
Yeah. So pointless.
Jennifer, did you have any idea that some of these sextortionists get $50 and Jordan is dead?
When they shared that information at the last press conference and I did the math in my head, I thought this is absolutely disgusting that I lost my son over someone getting $50 or $60, completely unnecessary. And my son could be alive. I would have paid a million times that to have him here, and all they wanted was $50.
I didn't know that, but my stomach is just clenched thinking that they would go along with this. And it's easy to say, oh, Nigeria is so far away. You can't relate to someone in a different country. Who are they? We don't know them. U.S. citizens are preying on our children, our Jordan. Listen.
Over the course of a short conversation, Samuel Ogashi, pretending to be this young woman, persuaded Jordan to send a sexually explicit image of himself. Once Samuel Ogashi had that sexually explicit image in his hand, he then turned to extort Jordan DeMay for money, threatening to reveal the image to Jordan's family and friends if he did not comply.
So let me understand, Rich Wistocki joining us, cybercrimes detective. How was it, in a nutshell, in simple terms for me, how were these texts and messages, some of them on Insta, some of them in a Google chat room, how were they traced back all the way to Nigeria, and how were the U.S. counterpart, the gang in the U.S., how were they traced?
So what happens is when these happen, we have to have five pieces of evidence. One of those pieces of evidence are the screen captures. We have to do what's called in the first step, the preservation order, which holds the information for 90 days. Then we go on to subpoena or search warrant. Part of that, we ask for the history of IPs for as long as the account existed. And what you're going to see, not only in the social media accounts, how do they send the money? Was it Zelle? Was it PayPal? How is it? So when we get every single social media or banking system that they're using, we get the user ID and we get all the IPs that are connected to it. So when you have all the players connecting with their IPs into these accounts, that is traceable. When I teach in the schools and tell the kids, there is no one online is anonymous when it comes to social networking and gaming, and no one has the right to make you do something you know you're not supposed to be doing, and we can make your pain stop because we can trace it.
Rich Wistocki is talking about how this case was cracked wide open. John DeMay, Jennifer Buta, the mom and dad of Jordan, because of his death, an investigation was launched. You went through HELL to even get access to Jordan's phone. That was hard enough. And because of you, a new law has been passed regarding parents and loved ones getting access to the deceased child's phone because of you. You never let it go.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
John DeMay, Jennifer Buta, the mom and dad of Jordan. Tell me, was Jordan, most of these transactions were through Apple Pay or Zelle. Was that how it was traced in Jordan's case?
Correct. In Jordan's case, it was an Apple Pay to a United States bank account. And then, unfortunately, these extortionists need players in the United States because you can't just send American currency to Nigeria. It has to be converted. So typically what's happening is the money's coming in through Apple Pay, Zelle, and then it goes into a bank account. The bank account then uploads it into a crypto wallet through a crypto exchange, United States exchange, and then it's converted into Bitcoin or some sort of cryptocurrency. Then it's easily transferred into any wallet on the planet, and then the receiving end of that crypto wallet, our case in Nigeria, they were able to run it through an exchange in Nigeria and convert that cryptocurrency back into their own home currency.
Today, I'm announcing a separate but related case charging five individuals, all U.S. citizens located in the United States now and at the time of the alleged criminal activity. These individuals, we allege, facilitated this sextortion scheme by receiving payments from the victims and transferring the money to Nigeria, ultimately to those carrying out the scheme that resulted in the death of Jordan DeMay and victimized many others.
That is the U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Michigan, Mark Totten, speaking about the arrests. And yes, it is an achievement, and it was an extensive investigation to track down these predators all around the world. But can I talk about the reality to John and Jennifer? All of this happened in just 6 hours. From the time your baby got this message, the first message from Danny, 6 hours later, he was gone. He was gone from this earth and in heaven just 6 hours, John.
That's right. And there's 24 parents and families that I know that I speak with that have lost their children to sextortion. And a lot of their stories are very similar. All these young boys and some girls, we could put them all in the same room together and they could all be brothers and sisters. And they feed on them, and you know, it's a tragedy.
Jennifer, it's so hard to take in that all you've raised him for years, 18 years, and in 6 hours, you lose him.
They took one of the most precious things to me. And on that day, part of me left this earth too. And there's always going to be an emptiness and a heaviness not having Jordan here with me.
To Elizabeth Peterson joining us, WLUC TV6. It's so difficult to hear John and Jennifer talk about how much they love Jordan and how everything changed in just a few hours. This investigation turned on its ear and it got to be very extensive and much bigger than anyone imagined.
Yeah, it really, you know, what, as I've been covering this for a couple of years now, and I've gotten to know Jennifer and John, and I've listened to the community talk about who Jordan was, everyone explains him as this big presence, this big spirit. And I think as we look at this investigation and see how big it's gotten, the reach that it's gotten, his story is being told not just here in Michigan, but across the country, across the world. And every time it's told, there's an opportunity there for us as parents, for us as the community, for us as legislators, law enforcement, across the board, to do better, to do right by Jordan, by his family. And I think that's exactly what's happening. And I can't help but think that, you know, it's hard for us as adults sometimes, I think, to relate to a 16-year-old and what they're thinking, what they're feeling, but they haven't lived life yet. They haven't matured yet. They don't have that wherewithal to say, you know what, in a year, I'm going to look back on this and laugh. And so as adults, we can't understand, but we can open that open space.
You know what, that's a really good point, Elizabeth, as is true in so many suicides. To you, Jennifer Buta, Jordan's mother, if they could just get through that one dark moment.
Yeah.
If he had just made it through the night, the next morning, everything is different. Explain.
Absolutely. You know, their brains aren't developed enough to see past that very moment. They're just seeing what's in front of them right now and how devastating this is and how they might have hurt someone or disappointed someone. I actually had a teenager reach out to me yesterday and say, this is happening to me. And because of Jordan's story, I know that this is going to pass. And that brought tears to me, knowing that sharing Jordan's story is helping others and it is saving lives.
Jordan DeMay, a teen, literally just king of the world, his life in front of him, commits suicide because of a sextortion plot against him. And it's happening to teens all over our country. I want you to hear what Danny, the cute girl he thought he was talking to, said. Dude, now goodbye. Enjoy your miserable life. And victim two says, why? And Danny, I'll make this go viral. I'll make you regret your life. I'll make you commit suicide. I promise you. I swear. That is what these teens are up against. They think they're going to get ridiculed, shamed, shunned, bullied, mistreated, grounded, by parents, friends, family, and they feel they have no other choice. Very quickly, Dr. William Maroney has conducted so many autopsies on teen suicide victims. Your message?
My message is that we need to have resilience coming from the parents, but we also need the taxpayers to hear that message in the schools, because the kids spend so much time in school that the schools should redirect children back to their parents for questions. And there should be early education about feeling insecure and suicide, and downplay those messages in the media and refer children back to communication with their parents.
That's exactly what you do, Rich Wistocki, train in schools.
Yeah, we need to be teaching parents how to have that technology talk, because so many times parents say, if you do this, if you do that, we're going to do this to you, we're going to do that to you, and that shuts down the communications. Instead, I teach something called the golden ticket, and we need to have parents give that kid a pass, because parents are responsible for their kids' technology, and we need to do a better job allowing, no matter what you do, we are here for you and we will fix it for you. You don't have to suffer in silence.
And what is so ironic to Jennifer and John, Jordan's mom and dad, Jordan was not under any threat like you hear parents saying, hey, I'm going to take away your car keys, I'm going to take away your cell phone if you fill in the blank. This boy, Jordan, this was a prison of his own making, out of fear, embarrassment, not because you had disciplined him or fussed at him about being online, but because of what the defendants did. Grown men in the U.S. and Nigeria targeting this teen boy in the middle of the night. Jennifer, you guys did everything right, and parents need to know that too. You can do everything right, and you still have a hard time protecting your child online.
Yeah, Jordan had a loving family. He had a great life, a huge support system within his friends in this community. And he was just the target that night, and they were relentless and did not give up until Jordan finally took his own life because he couldn't take the pressure. And I think it's so important for parents to hear Jordan's story and sit down with their families and have open conversations about what happened, and that there's absolutely nothing that they can't come to you with for help, because people want to help you if you see yourself going down that tunnel.
John DeMay, Jordan's dad, I want to tell you how you've affected my family, you and Jennifer and Jordan. When you first told me about Jordan, I pulled up Jordan's picture online on my iPad, and I blew it up, and I waited for the twins, my children, to come home from school. They sat down. We had no conversation, which we normally do, and I held up the picture. I said, you see this boy? He's a star football player. He was going to go to college. He's dead, and this is what happened. This is what happened. And now his mom and dad don't have him anymore. And I told them point blank what happened. Please help us, John. Help all the parents listening right now. What is your message?
I think the most important thing really is kind of elementary, but it just boils down to we have to really watch what our kids are doing on devices, and specifically social media. One thing that I think is really important, and that the detective touched on it, was having a device in their bedrooms in secluded areas at night without other people around. I think that's a really bad recipe, especially when something like this goes down. There's no way for anybody to intervene. So I think parents need to be really, really cognizant about that. Keep the devices in open areas, keep them out of their bedrooms, put them on the phone chargers, put them away at night. And then speaking to their kids and having the conversation, this is stuff that's really happening. Look at Jordan's story. This thing is real. There's people from other parts of the world that came into my house and murdered my son that night. And there's 11 people in custody right now because of it. So this isn't something that just is a whim. There's 24 other families, and there's probably thousands, if not tens of thousands, maybe even millions of kids that are being affected by this to some level. So we have to be diligent parents and pay attention to what's happening and be a little bit more strict and forthcoming with the phone usage.
If you or someone you know believe that you are or have been or currently a victim of sextortion, toll free 800 800-225-4324. Repeat, 800-225-4324. That's 1-800-CALL-FBI. And if you are considering or thinking about committing suicide, please text 988. Just text 988 or dial toll free 800-273-8255. 988 text or 800-273-8255. Because I promise you, if you can get through that dark hour and see the sunrise the next morning, you'll change your mind. We stop and remember an American hero, Deputy Sheriff Isaiah Cordero, Riverside County Sheriffs. Just 32, Deputy Sheriff Isaiah shot Deputy Sheriff Isaiah Cordero, shot and killed in the line of duty, survived by his mother, father, and brother. American hero, Deputy Sheriff Isaiah Cordero. Thank you to Jordan's parents, John and Jennifer. So difficult to speak about Jordan, yet they are trying their best to be empowered and help you. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.